Okay, let's bring this meeting to order. New Report Conservation Commission, November 15th, 2011. First item on the agenda are the minutes from the 1st of November 2011. Have any comments?
Yeah, under 15 Curry Way, there's three paragraphs under there that are kind of other topics.
You want me to give them headings?
Yeah,
that's why I made them anew. They were so small, though. I'll give them their own headings.
Questions, comments, whatever.
They deserve headings.
Okay. I did think that was weird, but.
I was just wondering for the last sentence of the draft action. If it instead it said it was decided that there were no immediate concerns on the draft action plan, rather than it was not a meeting.
Motion?
To approve as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Next item, the wetlands ordinance. Does Barry have a...
I apologize. I haven't been able to give it to Barry yet. I'm actually editing it this afternoon with all the final changes that I got. I promise you I'll actually email that out to you before tonight. Before I leave, so I'm on the last, I think, three pages right now of the relatively minor changes that you guys are giving me, but to plug those in, at which point I'll email to all of you and Barry. I did speak to him. He didn't want to take it. I think I mentioned seriously, but he didn't want to take it up prior to dealing with some of the zoning issues, which came up with the city council last night, because he didn't want to take up three regulatory changes and laws. So his feeling is that taking up the next city council meeting, which would be 2 weeks from yesterday, would be the better time. So, so one of the things I think we talked about a little bit is sponsorship. So he's already told me verbally that he would sponsor that one, so his name would be at the bottom of that going forward. They don't need to have any more sponsors as it goes to the council, but it might be helpful. And certainly we need to make sure that there's a majority vote on the council. So there's been discussion with some other council members, but to the extent we want to have them be sponsors with Barry, just want to make sure we're including them.
If you want, I'll just contact the ones I know.
Okay. And I'm happy to contact all of them as well. I don't want to step over the respect, so.
Either way, I'm pretty sure that Ari would sponsor it, that KDI would sponsor it, Ed Cameron will sponsor it, and I think Tom Jones will sponsor it.
If you want, I can talk to them verbally in advance, or I can copy them when I send it to Barry and say, it's our understanding, Barry, that you'd be sponsoring this. We're copying other members as we expect that they'd be interested in being co-sponsoring.
Yeah.
And then I'll confirm with you that it's on the next council agenda, and I expect you'd want to be there that evening. They have a roster on the board or the door there. If you're just speaking at the beginning, it'd probably be helpful to comment early in the meeting. Because they don't allow comments, or at least not required to allow comments later on during the meeting, so it would be good to comment first thing at the council meeting at around 7:30 when they typically do the meetings. I'll provide them for their packet a letter as well, indicating that I've reviewed it and I'm comfortable and believe that this is a good ordinance. But if Joe, you're interested in having a separate letter directly from the commission, or if there's other folks like the Open Space Committee or others that we should gather letters of support from, it would be helpful for us to do some outreach and have those in the same council packet. If not, it could come to some future meeting, but it would be nice to have them right out right at the beginning before they send it to the Planning and Development Committee and look for feedback at the next council meeting. So perhaps Mary Harbaugh, for instance, would give a letter of support or that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll send something there.
So I would expect, given the council's agenda, and I can't obviously anticipate what will happen when it goes to the council, but based on their actual schedule, the next city council meeting, I believe, is the 28th. So that's when they would take it in. They typically, well, they can't waive their rules. They typically send it to a subcommittee, so that would be the planning and development committee. And then the planning and development committee would review that, send it back to the council. That would be on December 12th. And presumably with a vote of confidence, given it's been reviewed internally and so forth, Gary and other people supported it. And then the council could vote it out on the with their second approval. This would be their, they have to do two votes on it. This procedural issue, they vote that at 12th and then they vote that again at 26th. At which point it would become legally effective. What's that?
Will they actually meet on the 26th?
They are scheduled to meet. They actually had some discussions about holiday dates. They decided to keep all of them, including, for instance, the one on Halloween. So I would expect that they'll have any problems getting the membership, even though it's close to holidays. That's it.
Okay.
But,
it's actually the legal holiday, isn't it? So Christmas is on a Sunday,
yes,
so Monday's the legal holiday.
So actually, it's a national holiday that day.
They still have their meeting posted, and they've decided to keep it. So
right.
I don't, you know, unless I hear otherwise from the city clerk. I will ask Mr. Jones tomorrow if they've had any more discussion, but as of last night, they still have that meeting.
Would it be useful for me to sit down with Barry or somebody to ask them what they think?
Yeah, I think it'd be good to sit down with Barry. I also think it'd be good for us to, whether it's the two of us or more of us, to sit down with the mayor as well. And just brief her again. I mean, I've kept her informed as we go along that we're working on this final language and we're basically ready to go now. But it would be good for us to maybe sit down and discuss with the director as well. You know, she's required to approve it as well as the council, so it makes sense to add that stuff. So I'll make myself provide her on another meeting. I'll make myself available on any time or schedule as well as. So, and Lois can confirm with my schedule as well, so if we find the time that works, you know, we heard that should be good for me as well.
Okay.
And I've told the mayor that we probably have to schedule a meeting with her to recap, even though I've kept informed.
Anybody else have any thoughts on the process? No. Okay. It's all new to me, too. So.
I guess one thought is just if any of us are going to speak, we should probably have one of us kind of give like an introduction, you know, what the goals are and a brief overview. Maybe we should have one designated representative prior to the city council. I don't know if that should come after the subcommittee.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely comment initially as it comes into the council, and then you'll have to plan on, although I don't know the dates of the subcommittee because they actually don't do those until they know they have a matter to discuss. They kind of do it on a rolling basis. I'll let you know when those meeting times are. It would definitely be appropriate to be there for those. I'll be there for that one, whenever they schedule that one. But you'll want to be there if you can to comment on it as well. I think it's important to emphasize things like, you know, we're not creating more process, we're trying to keep with the existing, you know, timings and so forth, keep things moving along. Increasing that the real important things here are protecting the vernal pools, protecting the buffer zones, in addition to just the resource area itself, so we'll have a wall right in the resource area. And that it's commonly done throughout Massachusetts down these local ordinances. So, you know, I think it emphasizes the types of things that they're going to be concerned about. You know, they're going to hear from constituents concerned about the permitting process. You know, is it going to add more delays? Is it going to make it possible or impossible for me to do certain things? They're going to have to be reassured about some of those issues before they, so they can go back to their constituents and you know, address those questions. So the more you can speak on any one of those issues, which I have been doing as I talk to Barry and, you know, as I occasionally bump into some of the others, but I haven't heard directly from the others that they've been sponsored, only Barry, so.
I guess, does Anybody want to lead that, or should that be me?
This is the outreach to the other councilors.
Well, I think the coordinating the. Now, Dan, when you were talking about general outreach, or.
Well, to the city council is what I was thinking is, you know, kind of an introduction or a preface to the, you know, so that when they get it, they know what our objectives are.
If the actual council meeting is limited to 2 minutes of public comment,
right.
That's the way it's going
to
be.
Right, the regular public meeting is limited to 2 minutes at the beginning, and you can sort of say something quick, but the subcommittee meeting, it's presumed that the subcommittee, there's a lot of detail that goes on, so at that point, the problem with that is you may not necessarily have all the council members there who might be voting eventually on it, you know, a week or two later. You may not have all members there for the zoning discussion we had Monday night, right before the regular council meeting. We had almost all councilors there, I think. They were all interested or available to come in, but we may not get all the members there. So, to the extent you can comment initially on it, or if you contact them, you know, via letter, email, you know, whatever, it's helpful as well. You'll only have three, assuming it goes only to the Planning and Development Committee, you'll only have three city councilors: Barry Connell, Tom Jones, and Brian Darabin. And those are the Planning and Development Committee members. So, you want to do some outreach to the other members who won't be there at the Planning and Development Committee. You know, if the Planning and Development Committee votes in favor of it, then it can come out and it has greater assistance. If for any reason the Planning and Development Committee has some hesitations about it, it doesn't mean it can't come out of committee. It just means that it may not come out with a favorable recommendation. Obviously, our goal is to get that and to get the full, the rest of the council to vote for it. This is the majority vote.
I was
kind of
thinking
that
maybe you,
Joe,
Well, if the council got a kind of explanatory memo at the same time it was introduced and about to be referred to committee,
yep.
They could take home with them and look at
it. My letter will incorporate a quick summary, but I don't want that to substitute for anything the commission wants to do. It's just intended to give them sort of highlights, you know, recognizing that they may not read through the entire thing or
right.
level of detail.
Well, that's
we have.
Kind of what I had in mind.
Yeah.
Maybe one pager or something
right.
like that.
Right. So my letter will summarize the things like I just discussed, and I was thinking maybe a few other things. But
would that work, Dan? Is
yeah.
that done in an outreach?
Yeah. I think it's good because Andy's done this before and he's worked on this one extensively too. So.
Okay.
But what do you think, Paul? Should
I think it's good. It's just have someone there at the city council meeting just to say. We work long and hard on this. We like it. We'll approve it. And you don't have to go into the whole details that will come out in the subcommittee meetings.
Yeah, I'm pretty much expecting to be
yeah.
to
yeah, I mean,
say
it's
something
it's
like that.
Just if no one shows up for it, you're going to say, well, why bother?
Of course, the last time I was up in front of city council, I was yelling at people too. So.
You won't do that this time.
I won't do that this time.
What they want to hear is what's going to stay the same and what's going to change. You know, just those points.
Exactly. Most of it's going to stay the same. Our jurisdiction isn't changing. Okay. Alrighty. So next item is One Lancaster Road.
Can't explain really why, but One Lancaster Road, you might recall, it was a DEP request for a superseding order from DEP to abutters who, I think technically, really didn't file the proper request for a superseding order with DEP, but DEP took it up nonetheless. I think it was a timing/format issue, but they took it up anyway, and they decided after looking at it after a couple weeks or months. To issue a superseding order approving what the commission had approved. Strangely, in my opinion, they basically issued the exact same approval the commission had. They added like one or two boilerplate conditions from their end, but basically the exact same permit we had issued. So I think it's a little silly that they had issued a permit taking control, effectively taking DEP control of a local permit. When they really didn't need to, they could have just said, we withdraw, you know, we think we uphold the commission's decision, leave it at that. So, for whatever reason, the DEP technically has state control over that small project. We'll obviously still keep an eye on it, but legally they have issued a supervision order that is effective the same initial review.
What was that? I don't
One Lancaster was the small residential subdivision that had one vacant lot that wasn't developed off of Water, if you go down Water Street. For whatever reason, they issued a supervision order. So.
The abutter that was concerned about water expansion.
Yes.
Right, and they were concerned. They felt that it should be treated as a perennial stream, and we had documentation indicating it was intermittent and you know dry a lot of the time, and the DEP upheld that. Still haven't heard back from 17 Graff Road, but I was checking on that.
Nice to see that DEP has resources to take on these things.
I didn't have heard them. Back from 17 Graff Road, which I thought was a more substantial, you know, discussion maybe. But I did contact them today to get back, so I'll try to get tomorrow.
Okay, next one is the beach access walkover. Is anything?
I should have had that signed by everybody by the end of the week. We have changes in the residence, as Andy hit the last meeting. Dr. Hermani and McCarthy won't be listed only because they're not always there. We chose to stipulate, as I mentioned last time, some people will still be there. There's a one person I've never dealt with before, but lives on 95th Street, Eric, I can't forget his last name, who's agreed to do it. So there's actually three residents now that are doing it instead of two originally. Allison Hardquist, who's the ward counselor, has agreed to do it. She's particularly involved and wants to make sure our infrastructure there is good. So we know she'll keep an eye on it. And Kelsey Buck, who was involved with originally in trying to get the residents together and put up some sand. This is, you know, before this whole debacle with sand and everything. But she was very professional about it and took some leadership in trying to get the residents together on that end. So the mayor and Allison thought that would be, you know, acceptable person to go with to rely on to bring up the ramp in case there was a fault in the part of the DPW to do. So we'll have three residents, these three folks that are after the DPW is responsible in the event that for some reason they can't get out there. They will be given access to the box and the winch to pull it up. So we'll have backups, several backups. So I should have that assignment in a week, which might all email it out to you and we'll get the copy of it.
Next one is the mowing date and actually the agricultural license for Cooper Oak Pasture, the front hay field. I know we discussed in the past about possibly changing the date back to August 1st, but Jordy contacted Audubon and they kind of reluctantly agree, as you can see in the letter, that, you know, was it January, July 15th?
July 15th, yes.
Is it more or less an acceptable date, but it's weighing pluses and minuses, getting someone to mow the field. And, so I guess we'd, to that end, Jordy has changed the license and has increased it to 10 years. And what was it?
90 day.
I had a couple of questions and a suggestion for the license before on that. One D on the second page starts off, licensee and licensor shall work together to address the basics. What do they expect us to do?
That's probably what was there already. I think we've.
I would hope that we don't have to do anything.
We haven't done anything in the past 5 years, and that part wasn't changed.
I had interpreted that as being approval of whatever method is proposed by.
Well, then, if we had something to the effect that the commission won't be expected to incur any expense, because we don't have a budget for this. clarify that working together doesn't mean spending city money on it.
You could say that such work would not be undertaken for the city.
Yeah, the commission is not required to incur any expense, something like that.
Or the law naturally. Or the law naturally do the work.
And then in E, one of the things I like to see in a clause like this is that there be no storage or mixing of the chemicals on the premises. For pesticide or herbicide application.
Under that same condition. Is that under the same condition?
It's under E. This is a place where I think we're talking about the application of herbicide.
Okay. So you say at the end, we can say and none.
Yeah, just a sentence that says no mixing or storage of chemicals on the premises.
So at the end, we can say and none shall be stored on the premises.
Right. And mixed can't be mixed there either. Those are the situations where you get into spills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then finally, under 4, which is on that same page, alteration of premises, which says licensee may pursue significant alterations only without permission. I wasn't sure what significant means. I guess I didn't understand why the licensee would be doing any alteration on the premises.
He has requested in the past to be able to basically keep the trees at bay, to mow them, you know, if he takes a mower,
right.
And he goes sideways too because it'll overhang the field and everything.
Oh, so you mean mowing a brush instead of just the hay?
Yeah, basically he would trim back the branches.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that's all it is, I don't have a problem with it. But
yeah, that's,
I'm not sure what. Yeah,
I don't think
what other alterations.
Right, he's not. There's not much else. He's
well, seen. We can. I saw later on in the document there's a place where we can amend it anyway.
Right.
So.
So basically, we're going to keep them on days, no longer than July.
Yeah. Hopefully, we can get some good rains out there in mid July.
And then, in light of the no storage of chemicals that Doug mentioned under 1E, under equipment, maybe there should be something that says no fueling of equipment on premises as well, or storage of fuel, like that standard boilerplate language.
What does he use, a tractor?
Mm. A couple of them.
It's like no fueling or maintenance of vehicles to cover things like oil.
Fueling, maintenance, or storage of fuel.
How about does this mowing just happen, is it like a one day or a couple day thing?
It's at least a couple day. Because he'll mow and then he'll have to go back and bale it.
So we don't care if he stores a tractor there for a couple days in the middle of the job if he wants to.
I think if he ever does that. I don't remember if he's ever done that.
I wouldn't worry about storing it myself. I would more worry about the fueling and maintenance where things could actually more likely drip.
If it's just one or two mowings, I mean.
Yeah, that's all. It's a couple mowings. Unless it really grows fast, you might get 3 out of it, but it's usually just 2.
We don't have any.
Not to do that backfield, no. I still have to give him a call, Phil. He's agreed to. I think, I don't know what his, Matt Kazaki's agreements coming up for the wet meadows in a couple of years.
It might be good to have an agreement with him on that backfield too, some sort of conditions.
Well, he has mentioned to me in the past that he'd like to do a 10-year agreement. Maybe we can revisit that agreement and add that into it, and it'll be his to do. I don't think there'll be any issue with it.
I don't think they have an objection to that gives them an incentive of knowing they have a longer-term contract.
I think it's useful to do it just to have the indemnification stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll talk to Jordy about digging up that contract, and I'm pretty positive that Matt will say yes, especially if he's getting the wet meadows for 10 years.
For free.
For free.
So he didn't want to do this particular one, or have there historically always been two different people?
Oh, it's Myette has done this field for a long time.
And he used to do the backfield too, but we chose to have that mowed like after September.
Yeah, well, there's also the we put in that 100-foot buffer to the Little River, and I don't think he thought it was worth his effort.
Yeah.
So. All right. So can we? Well, I guess we can ratify it at the next meeting. Write it up and get that into that one. All right. So why don't we? Let's move on to certificates of compliance, requests for determinations, and minor modifications. First one is Union Specialties, 3 Malcolm Hoyt, request for a certificate of compliance.
This the applicant, I didn't get this over a note, there was a question I think I tossed out. The applicant wasn't able to have representation tonight, so what they had indicated to me was that they wanted a continuance, and I suggested that based on some of the feedback I had gotten, that they might be eligible for the sign-off tonight. They'll be able to continue if not necessary. But because there were a couple of questions that were raised, I told them that if they're getting approval tonight, we take it up and do it. If he has any reason to hesitation on the commission's part, then we can just continue that in the next meeting and let them respond to any questions that you have rather than, refusing to issue a sign. So, up to the commission either way. They would just both be able to be here tonight to address any questions that you might have. I got mixed signals back about whether everything was all set. I think the only thing that I had raised the last meeting was that question of the driving area. And if the commission is okay with that, I'll just file it. If the commission has any hesitation about that, is anything required to be adjusted? And I heard back from several feeling okay about it, and I think there's one question that was raised that defer the question.
So they want a continuation, is that correct?
If the commission can't agree on issuing a certificate tonight, they'd rather have it continue to be able to address any questions or concerns they have. If anyone wants to discuss with them the request, then we should just get them.
Well, did the initial notice or plans for order mention a berm along that road?
He mentioned a bituminous berm, and that's how I read it.
Right. And
it wasn't there. So I mentioned that as something you might want to take a look at before issuing a certificate, at which point you had a visit. I think I had a meeting conflict, couldn't be there, but you had done a visit, and I got a few members said to me that they felt fine with it, looked at the way it was, and there was like one or two that had a question about something. And I told the applicant that either we issued one tonight, or if there's questions, we'll do it continue next meeting. And they said they could be here for the meeting to do so. So either way, it's fine with me. I just wondered where they were.
Yeah, so there's there's not a berm there, and there's actually a couple of stone-lined, at least three stone-lined channels going to a swale off of that parking area. And then, you know, just looking at this, they say there's a bituminous berm and there's...
Did they say why they didn't do the berm?
Well, they didn't respond back about that, but I think they acknowledged that it wasn't correctly said. I think they acknowledged it was a little bit different the way that they had set up the loading dock. If you notice, it appears to me anyway that I wasn't here when these plants came in, but the loading dock was maybe a little lower than they had probably anticipated or something, because it looks as if originally they were anticipating capturing all that water in that area down to catch basin that was in there. There's no berm on that edge before it gets essentially to a swale that goes to the detention area. But it also looks like some of that water might go directly into the wetland. And that's the reason I brought it up, because if that water was going into the swale, it was all captured there, maybe it could infiltrate, it could treat it a little better. My concern was just, you know, if you have any hesitation about the fact that the water might be going right out from the pavement area into the wetland. It's a small area, and unless there's a vehicle leaking, it should be fine. But in the event that something does happen, it isn't being captured by a catch basin and separated or treated, whereas it's just... could potentially just wash right over. So that's the reason I mentioned it. Everything else in the plan is fine, but I thought that was worth taking a look at.
Well, I think then we should, myself think we should continue into the next meeting and have their engineer come in and explain to us why they proposed the berm, but they didn't build it and why it's going to work anyway.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll tell them to be here the next meeting then.
Motion to continue to 12:05.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, next one. Next one is Thomas Lawrence, 12 L Street, request for minor modification.
Is anyone here to speak on that one?
Do we have any paperwork on that?
I'm sorry?
Do we have any paperwork?
I think at the last meeting we had discussed, the last meeting I had brought this one up briefly, and because it wasn't listed on the agenda, the applicant had, or the engineer representing the applicant had dropped it off the day of the meeting. I said, well, you know, I'll ask if they want to take it up tonight, but because it's a minor modification, but there's no guarantee that they will. And the commission decided it would be better to take it up to the next meeting when it was sort of publicly listed on the agenda. GA consultant Tom Scott Hargreaves, he had been the one representing them. And basically, what has happened here is, a minor modification that's been done to the footprint of the building, and I told John that they should be getting equipment to change where that footprint of the building is. And so this plan shows where they want the footprint to be. And you'll see on this plan, it's essentially a rectilinear configuration of the deck of the building. On the original plan, it's effectively the same location and area, but it's more of a triangular shape. And so the building commissioner had sent them up to our office to verify the commission was
comfortable. You're talking about the deck, right?
The deck itself, right. So,
okay.
So the single-family home is in the same location, the footprint of that, but the deck was originally a triangular shape coming out in a point, whereas now they're showing it as more of a rectangular, two rectangles sort of put together.
Right, the rectangular shape, you can see the,
the fence.
The fence. You can see the fence. The shape of the deck was basically, did a rectangle inside that fence. Like, what, I don't know, 4 or 5 feet from the fence.
Well, what we initially came in was with Hotel was that triangular shaped deck, and we had them cut back to that rectangle.
Sure.
Yeah, because I remember this. You tried to sneak that through.
There was, well, the only iteration of the plan that I had, I can see in the file, and I remember this is what came in, was a similarly shaped deck with a rectangle, except that on the revision they have here, there's an extension of that of, say, 10 feet.
Yeah, 10 by 30.
Going out, right, 10 by 30 going out towards the fence, and almost maybe a foot or so away from the fence.
So
well, what we have here shows it, 10 by, shows that. Is this the revised?
So the 10 by 30 is in addition to what was originally approved.
Addition to what was originally submitted to you, but a little, I would say a little bit more than what you had originally approved. So after they submitted that original design, the original design was, say, this plus a little pump out. You had approved something that was a triangular shape following that.
No,
no, we did not.
We did not triangular that shape.
The plan of record, which is this one here, has the deck on piles with the fence. This is the plan that they've submitted, which shows a rectilinear deck with another rectangle extension out of the deck.
The one that you highlighted, which plan is that?
This was, I believe, the original submission.
No, the one that you highlighted.
Yeah, I believe this was the original submission.
Yes, it is, because we asked them to move it back beyond, or back partially out of the, what the one is that? The buffer area.
The buffer area.
100 to 200.
And that one had a rectangular deck.
Point of record is the is this one here shows the triangular shape following, you know, parallel line to the fence.
I have the minutes from the meeting. It was approved. It was April 20th, 2010, and it says that it was moved. The order conditions was a condition that that can. Applicant submits a plan showing the removal of the triangle portion of the deck.
Hmm. Well, apparently I never submitted that, I guess, because it's not in the... there's no record of it having been submitted to that information. This is the next plan that's come in since that filing.
What's been built? Is anything built out there?
To my knowledge, no.
So they're asking us to approve what I think we think we approved.
No, that's not what we approved.
No, this is what they want right now.
We approved this part.
You approved. Okay. Just apparently, you approved this part only and asked them to knock off this.
Yes.
And they're asking for
only how to put it back.
Instead, to put something up that is more of a rectangle that I guess arguably is actually a few more, sort of a two triangles larger. Yeah. So,
area wise, it's the same or a little bit more.
Well, no.
I mean,
we only approved up to here. Now they're. Wanting this in addition.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So what they're looking for is bigger than what we think we approved, but smaller than what we told them they couldn't do.
Yes. That's correct.
Very good.
Yes. And then maybe we got tripped up.
I'm not even sure that it's the new one is smaller than what they originally wanted with that triangular shape.
Yeah, it may not be. I think if you took this and this and put it out here, it's the same thing. So this is what they think we approved.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, but they don't acknowledge on this plan the stairway.
Yeah.
Okay, I think so.
So effectively, I think if you take this and this, it probably ends up being a little closer, but probably still a tiny bit more, maybe a few feet apart. It's probably from the stand. They didn't account for the stairway area to get up to in this.
But that would be, yeah.
That would extend a little further over there.
Yeah.
So are they essentially removing this stair, these two stairs?
No. Well,
yeah, yeah, according to their plan,
according
that's
according to
their
plan,
doing.
They are.
According to their plan, they're only asking.
But are they really, or did the district put them on there?
It doesn't matter.
That's what they said.
With no stairways.
I can ask
if
there's
a stairway here.
Yes, there is a stairway there.
Yeah.
So they didn't show the plan, but they're taking the cross section.
Shows an elevation, if not the.
So you could effectively say that we're not okay with the deck on the 10x30-foot deck on piles addition that you proposed. We're holding to the reduction that we approved last time, you know, per our discussion with whatever date that was. We're going to hold that. Maybe. What you consider it, by the way.
I guess what we really need is that the plan of record that they never submitted.
Well, they never followed up on the plan. In your decision, you referenced the plan that they last filed, but you required a new plan, but they never submitted that new plan.
Right.
This is the next one that came in, which is asking for a little bit more than you approved, but less than what they originally proposed on their plan. So.
And what we told them was we just wanted the triangular part taken off, and there are two sets of stairways on that plan that we said we just wanted the triangle taken off. So
if I could be really
but the latest plan shows the stairways and the elevations, but not on the
plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, since they're filing this as a minor change, you know, I would say it's not a minor change, but they come up with better plans.
And maybe come in and explain it a little bit better. I think it'd be good to have somebody here.
If they want to pursue this, do you want them to be told that this should be considered a notice of intent or what?
No, I don't think so. But I think it would be useful to have one of them here.
Well,
so
I
mean,
I would think it would be an amendment to the notice.
Right.
Not a minor one.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't think it should be a minor one?
But so my question is, it sounds like something that you'd want them to approach and then take up as opposed to. Because if you're saying right now you can't take it up as a minor mod because you don't feel it's acceptable, it's above the threshold, then we're really talking about they should have an advertising with the abutters to come in and know and give comment on the fact that you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah,
the
since before we specifically had to cut that back.
Right, but wouldn't the decision about whether it's minor or not be somewhat dependent on the area of the deck that's...
Yeah, well,
I mean, in other words, if you took off the area of the plan that they never did, which we think we approved, and compared it to this, then we could decide whether it's significant or not.
We did not approve that plan.
Correct, but we approved. But we did approve something.
Yeah.
Which was knocking off the triangle.
Right.
So what I'm saying is maybe if we compared the area, the deck area, of the knocking off the triangle version that they never filed with this, we'd know how significant it is.
Well, it's 300 square feet more.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's 300 square feet more.
10x30.
So the question is,
it's closer to those dunes. I remember, you know, some larger state as far away from that area as possible.
Well, the one issue is that we believed it was significant enough for them to knock off that triangle.
Right.
And now they're trying to at least replace it, if not add more.
Yeah. I mean, my preference would be in terms of giving them instructions between now and whatever our next meeting on the 5th, I guess, or the 6th. I would prefer to tell them that the commission's already discussed this and is, you know, believe that the reduction should stay as originally approved, than to say to them, come in, go through the hearing process, file an amendment to the notice of intent, have a public hearing, and then be told the same thing, that the commission, you know, doesn't feel like it's an appropriate level of construction given what was already discussed. And I'd rather tell them now and have them go through that process.
I would say at a minimum we should continue and give them the opportunity to come in and explain what's happening as opposed to us trying to figure mm-hmm. it out. And you know, you could relate to them that at this point it appears as though it's standing for a decline, but we will not approve it unless we have a clear explanation as to what they're doing. And so if they want to come in and argue their case at the next meeting, it's fine. If not, then they're looking at a decline.
Yeah. Okay. And another beautiful thing is on the plans that we told them to move it back on, which has that the final thing that we approved, they only had one staircase instead of two. So there's a plan with no staircases, two staircases, and one staircase.
I would make a motion that we that this is not a minor modification.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
What about the fact that we still don't have a plan that shows what we agreed for the exact permit?
I'll at the same time remind them that they're still out of compliance with their original permit, which requires them to file a plan that it does actually do what he asked for. So. If they're so inclined to come to the next meeting, I'll put them on the agenda and we'll see if maybe they'll say what the good item is. But if they decide to be here, I'll let them know.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. Next one, request for determination. Michael Beardy, 237 Northern Boulevard.
Used to be one big castle, it was also with Oliver House. It was sold off as a separate lot. I've had that for 5 years now, 4 or 5 years. I still don't have a bathroom upstairs. It was built in the 30s by the owners of the Oliver House for them to live in when the hotel was full. It hasn't had many improvements since then. It was in the same state as the Oliver House when I bought it. The inside is now corrected and is good. I need to address the outside. The porch is falling off. It's starting to sink at the back. I've had Gary Caldwell round, and he said we need an engineer because he won't allow any building upwards until the whole thing is stable. I've had an engineer around, and they said that they can cure it quite easily by putting tubing in, which I assume is something that goes from one end of the house to the other. I've had an architect round, and architects are dangerous because they say to you, well, you want it looking like this, and before you know where you are, you've got something that's 20 foot off the ground. All I want to do is put an addition at the back of the house. On the existing framework of the house, on the existing area above the kitchen, and I'm going to turn that into a bathroom.
That is shown on sheet A2.3.
So looking straight at it from the front, I'm not even going to see it. It's not going to be above, it's going to be below the existing roofline.
This also shows a new upper deck?
Well, I'm going to have to take the porch off before they do any work to the place. And I don't think I can put the porch back because it was made in the 50s. I would actually like to put the porch back because the glass comes from the old Newburyport High School when they chucked it out. Mm. It's got a bit of history to it, which I quite like. But I've got a feeling that it's not going to go back because it's all skew width already. It's kind of settled and made its own, you know, structure. I don't think it can go back on, that's the problem. So the house itself is it's about 1,300 square feet. If I was to
let the deck be for weather and put new windows in, I just put a new deck on, then that would help me inside the house as well. As for the upper deck, that's a nice thought. It's something that I do or do not have to do. The thing about it is that I can't see the Atlantic from the lower deck, but I can see it from the bedroom. So it would be quite nice to have a view. So you know by the sea.
I'm not sure I understand exactly what the tubing is. That to me sounds like it might be like sonotubing, concrete, you know, foundations or footings.
Originally, I was asking about lifting the whole house up and then putting new tiles in. That's going to be far too expensive to do. It's just not worth doing that. And I was told that it could be done by tubing. That's all I know. I'm not an engineer.
Yeah. In this case, where would the tubes go? Are they only on one side of the building? Or?
They would go underneath the house from side to side too. And they would, I believe they would bolt onto the existing framework that goes into the house, that goes down into the sand.
So
I think it just spreads the weight.
So it wouldn't be in the outside foundation area, it would be inside. There'd
it
be a couple
would be
of
underneath the house.
Okay.
So we want to reinforce the existing downstairs porch with these tubes.
For the whole house. The whole house would come. The whole house. Then the porch would come off in the process of doing that. There is nothing underneath the porch, it's just built up. And then I would put a new porch on.
I don't recall what the geotechnical term is, but I think what he's talking about is that I've seen it done on some very large buildings where they go in inside the existing foundation. And in essence, they excavate out, and in essence, they jack the house up to make it level and to supply additional support for the house within the existing foundation perimeter. And again, I should know the term, but it escapes me right now, but this is a technical term for it. There's not a lot even with newer buildings where you know, someone screwed up in their geotechnical design and they had differential settlement. So a building, you know, going in and they'll put in these geopiers or something that, similar to that to level a house, so they put in an additional footing, if you would, but it's a column, it's either wood or concrete. Sonotube or it's wood pilings that they will put in to level the house and put into keep it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if we're doing any strengthening of the foundation, doesn't it need to go up on pilings instead?
I think that's been our policy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the ordinance. If the foundation can't hold whatever you're doing. And you're talking about expanding in any way, then it's got to go on piles.
Yeah, the work meets with the sand, meets with the grade.
Well, this again, I think what he's saying is not going to change the size of the footprint, but it's going to add additional support to what's there.
Yeah,
right.
I think it has to do with sonotubes versus piles. So
yeah, but also with sonotubes, I think. And the ordinance says that if the current foundation structure can't support the proposed building, then it has to make problems.
I'm pretty sure.
Part of the way that I look at this one is, in some cases you've seen some pretty large expansions out there that have been raised up on pilings that are pretty substantial increases in the amount of floor area, the amount of weight, the amount of potential impact that there's damage to the structure. In this case, we're largely talking about reinforcing the existing structure, the addition being where, I guess, the bathroom is on that side, and then the deck area. So I think the question is that bathroom and the deck area large enough or sufficient enough to justify reasonable structure. There's definitely room for that in the ordinance. It's a question of where is that line drawn.
If he was putting a deck on, my understanding is if he was putting just adding a deck, you could support that. But if the foundations are going to handle adding the bathroom, then I believe it's got to go up.
Has the building commissioner indicated whether if you were to do the bathroom and just to do the deck under the roof, whether the structure could even support that weight?
Gary said to me that he wouldn't like to see that amount of weight go on the building without one quarter of it being done.
So basically, no portion could be increased without it.
Well, you have to rebuild the porch as well. It's not just putting the deck on the existing porch. You said it, didn't you say earlier that you're going to have to...
I would like to redo the deck. I mean, it's an improvement if I do. It's an improvement to the quality of life inside because it's giving me more area.
Right, but just in terms of what you put the deck on, I thought you said...
The deck is not on pilings at the moment. It's on nothing. It's just on the sand.
Oh, I thought you were going with the second-story deck over the porch.
The second-story deck, that's something that I would like, but it isn't something which is actually necessary. The main thing that I need to do is to put a bathroom upstairs, and my choice is I either use one of the bedrooms, it's a three-bedroom house, but there's no point doing that because I'll never sell it for the amount of money that it's going to cost me to do it. Or the only other alternative is to put in something above that kitchen area.
Which is going to require some work to support the structure.
It needs something in the foundation to support it. Gary seemed quite happy if I was to do that. And I've had an engineer that said that yes, it's perfectly possible, but not a difficult job.
I'm trying.
Yeah, I think
are you saying to me that you want me to take the whole house away and put new pilings in and then put the house back on? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm looking it up on the in the ordinance, but if I will,
I seem to recall one that we permitted last year, perhaps a little longer ago, that would the owner was building up like here. And the condition was that the existing foundation would have to support.
Right, including no lally columns or anything
right.
inside.
Right.
The existing foundation has to support whatever you're doing. Because it's better for everybody involved around if it's on piles and you get water coming in, water washing over, it won't take your house out. Thus taking out somebody else's house. That's the main thrust of that.
Well, either way, it seems to me that this is going to require a notice of intent, so motion to issue a positive determination.
Second.
I will say something in a second. Let me just... We can do like City Council and have a slight discussion for a minute. If a licensed engineer certifies that an existing portion of the solid foundation will not require modifications to support building, other than new piles exterior to the existing footprint, the existing portion of the solid foundation may remain.
What are you reading from, Joe?
From the ordinance.
I would like to hear about from the engineer what sort of reinforcement that would be and what that would entail relative to what's happening on the ground and obviously with the site visit. You know, whether we keep this in determination or we can give it a positive.
They're putting together, you know, if they're going to do a notice of intent, they'll have to, you know, you guys will have to review the local ordinance as well as the weapons rights. see what can or cannot be done.
Okay.
There was a motion out.
There is, and a second.
And a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So, what that means is we determine that the Wetlands Protection Act does apply. That's the request for determination. So, if you want to do this, you need to file a notice of intent.
Right. Is that through you as well?
Yes.
And that's through the both state act and this local wetlands ordinance, which applies to Plum Island. I'm just wondering, for the benefit of the applicant, if it makes sense to talk a little bit about whether or not it's likely that the building would have to go on pilings as a whole, given the nature of the local ordinance, so that you might know what's entailed. Effectively, you're going to get a new packet of information, a notice of intent, as opposed to an RDA. But the question will still be the same. Does the structure need to go up on pilings based on the work that's been done? And there's language in this section of the local ordinance. This is sort of somewhere in the middle of those two ends of the spectrum, where greater than 50% of the structure is being taken down and any roof being put on. Clearly that's when the building goes up on pilings. But if it's just a new roof that's going up, no, it doesn't need to be put on pilings. So there's that. There's somewhere in the middle is this work. And
but I think this is on the other clause of it, where the foundation cannot support. They're separate things.
I think it might be helpful to give an explanation of what these engineering tubes are. Because if it's not sonotubes going into the ground, if it's something going to the house.
Right, well, yeah.
All right, let me just read the entire section. It's 3.J. In all other areas of the Plum Island Barrier Beach outside of the V-zone and AO zone, all new buildings shall be built on open pilings and shall comply with FEMA National Flood Insurance Regulations and State Building Code Regulations for elevation and floodproofing. All existing buildings with substantial improvements and all horizontal expansions of the existing footprint shall be built on open pilings and shall comply with FEMA National Flood Insurance Regulations and State Building Code Regulations for elevation and floodproofing. If a licensed engineer certifies that an existing portion of the solid foundation will not require modifications to support the proposed building, other than new pilings exterior to the existing footprint, the existing portion of the solid foundation may remain.
So reinforcement of an existing foundation is what the question.
Right.
And
right.
We obviously
and
have to learn more about.
Right. Basically, reinforcement of an existing foundation is going to be within the foundation or replacing that foundation.
The way I read this section is it doesn't mandate that it be put on pilings, but it gives discretion to the commission to decide whether it needs to be done. And I think it largely is dependent on whether you interpret this as a substantial improvement to the structure. One could certainly call this expansion of the second floor and the deck area and the renovation of the porch area as being substantial, but one could also find it as not substantial. And I think that's the question at play, because the rest of it does speak to some of these issues, but it doesn't mandate. It's a question of whether or not the commission finds this to be substantial enough improvement that the benefit to the island in general is to get, as Joe was saying earlier, get this building up on piling so that if there is damage to the structure and this increased investment in this structure and therefore the island, then it doesn't damage further this structure, waste that investment, and damage other properties and the environment out there by having more material, flowing around during a storm.
Well, I guess we can get a licensed engineer to certify that they can handle it.
Yeah.
And we can do it.
Oh, I first.
Well, they're going to say yes, aren't they? But I guess what you want to know is what they're going to do it with.
Well,
and how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be happy if I came back with that? Do you think?
Well, I think we need a notice of intent.
Yeah.
If there's more work here, take into account all the things that you're doing,
It's beyond an RPA.
Okay. So it's just a more in-depth application process. And will bring clarity for us to make a determination on the project and provide, gives us the opportunity to provide guidance.
And it also gives the opportunity for public input.
See you next month.
All right. Thank you.
Andy, yep. Do you have an extra copy of the paper for that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Do we have anything else?
Nope. I had a couple of other miscellaneous things I wanted to mention, but nothing that's an action item.
Okay. I guess Tom Hughes didn't show up for the update on Phillips Drive.
Yeah, I didn't get any response back from him, so I won't pursue him again, but nothing that has been given me yet on the Phillips Drive issue we talked about last time. I asked about whether or not the residents had a filing or an update, you know, for their enforcement order. Nothing was responded back, so I will contact Tom Hughes again, as well as the applicant at this point. Since Tom has been the person I've been talking to about it, I contacted him, but I will reach the resident as well.
Was there any Perry Way that we were asked to go and look at?
They did not come to the meeting tonight. I did see Steve Sawyer. He indicated he was actually, I'm not really sure whether he was clear, frankly, because he was checking whether or not he was on the agenda for tonight, and I told him that he wasn't, because nothing had been, you know, nothing was given back to us to look at. That was new, and he said, well, he said, no, that's good, that's fine, we'll be back at one of the future meetings 2 weeks from now or 2 weeks from then. He said that he would confirm with me that he said something new or additional to look at which point we'd put on the agenda. So there's really nothing new beyond what we've already discussed or if you visit the site, what you've seen. So, I think they're, from my conversation with him earlier today, that they're having some conversations about the green roof and whether or not it would be worth their while to do this project given the costs associated, the sort of wellens issues, the green roof potential that they're talking about, and some other, you know, costs that are internal for them, like the manufacturing equipment and that sort of thing. So.
The green roof would probably be cheaper than moving.
That's exactly what I was
And that's what Steve is trying to convince them of, is by saying, you know, this is something that will help you with this permitting process, and it'd be cheaper to you than moving somewhere else. So.
But even with the green roof, it's not a slam dunk for us.
Oh, yeah, and he's aware of that as well. Yeah.
Well, I'm just curious, you know, this roadway that goes along here, is that just for sort of emergency access? Maybe that could be grass like they did around the nursing home?
I don't know. I mean, the planning board may be fine with the grass paved. I certainly wouldn't be fine with it. We've been able to convince the fire department on that court rehab facility, so I think we, from a planning point of view, at least the planning office, we'd prefer to see some more of that in the future.
Yeah.
I can't speak on behalf of the planning board, but I'd imagine that they'd be comfortable with it too, since they also wanted it on the court rehab. In this case, it's slightly different only because on court rehab, from the planning board's point of view, the back grass area was not for any general traffic, only for fire access. In this case, it's also meant for some traffic to travel through, you know, from Perry Way, you know, so planning board may not feel comfortable with the grass paved in that situation, but it may be that they're fine with it. If they are, certainly, I think I'd be fine with it, and would love to reduce the amount of pavement.
Does that show on there as pervious, Steve, on the plan?
He did talk about pervious.
I remember talking about it, yeah.
But I'm not sure.
It doesn't show that way.
No. Well,
I don't recall exactly what the purpose of that was. As you said, is it just primarily for emergency access?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's obviously more convenient for those working there to go different directions, but I imagine maybe the fire department wants at least one access on that side, the lengthy side of the building.
Yeah.
Without even talking to them, I know they're going to say that. I think the question is, you know, if fire departments, if you can convince them that they're okay with the grass paint or some other variation of that, then it's just a question of, does the planning board feel it's essential? And I would recommend the planning board require paving for no reason. I think if the grass paint works, it works. But the fire department may have some hang-up over it. We'd have to discuss
them
first.
This is actually the third one, because Green Corps, which was Homemade Brand Foods, that we approved the
grass pavers on the side of that too.
But was that a only an emergency access?
Was it only? It may have only been.
Right.
I think it was a fire department.
Okay. So a slight difference only in that we might have general traffic on it, which means more frequency, traffic. But again, I'm in support of it. I just don't know. I can't speak on behalf of the fire department or the planning board until we refer back to them.
I did go out and look around here, and I think the wetlands are a bit more expensive than they might.
That was my sense as well, but there wasn't a definitive delineation on the plan, and I figured we have to wait until there's an actual flag to look at. But I do feel
like there's more wetlands there.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah.
So it's a little hard to give a kind of a heads up without a delineation. And
yeah. It's all kind of dependent on where it falls.
Were you folks here for something?
Yeah, we're here for 16 Francis Drive.
This is that other one that
Was
with us, right, Steve?
Yeah, this is one.
This was the 16 Francis Drive was advertised for tonight. Would you be comfortable? Do we get documentation on this?
Last meeting.
Do we get a last meeting?
Apparently, I had passed out this
documentation
at the last meeting.
You okay with going forward with this? I think we should.
Yeah, what is it? What's the project?
It's
backyard grass slopes down from the north to the south. The proposed pool is to be built to the back of the house, and the plan, which I guess I gave you at the last meeting, shows the pool in this location here at 18 by 36 feet. This is the property of the house.
The question I have is, where are the wetlands?
Right. The plan doesn't indicate either an estimated or a definitive wetland boundary. So I don't know if maybe the applicant can talk a little bit about what they're saying.
I don't have it. I don't have it. But unless I pull up my
I'll go grab my
mapping stuff, which I will.
While you're at it, can you make a couple copies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, please. I need one too, Andrew. Sorry about that, folks. You'll be next. We're without our permanent agent, we're a little discombobulated these days. So we'll take a pause for 5 minutes.
Do we not have a definition in the ordinance of substantiality? Purposes of that discussion we were having.
Substantial increase in living space. Yes. And I forgot what those percentages were.
Yeah.
I thought that was it was a 25-50 thing, 25% increase or 50% increase in market value or something like that. I'm fine. But I'm not sure it's the same issue.
Yeah, I think it's two separate things in the ordinance.
Yeah.
One dish
talks. This
box
just talks about what? A substantial increase in what? In footprint? Or in
that the ordinance is talking about?
Yeah, the section you were just quoting from.
Substantial improvements.
Substantial improvements.
All existing buildings with substantial improvements and all horizontal expansions. Well, it basically says everything's going to be up on piles. And I know
everything, if it's an insubstantial improvement, doesn't have
but
to.
But then you don't have to worry about the foundation. That's why...
I don't think the I don't have it in front of me, but I think the foundation issue relates to the substantial improvement.
I
think
it was
I'm not sure the way he read it.
Yeah, the way he read it.
Could you read it again?
In all other areas of the Plum Island Barrier Beach, outside of the V-Zone and AO Zone, all new buildings shall be built on open pilings and shall comply with FEMA National Flood Insurance Regulations and State Building Code Regulations for elevation and floodproofing. All existing buildings with substantial improvements and all horizontal expansions of the existing footprint shall be built on open pilings and shall comply with FEMA and codes and regulations. If a licensed engineer certifies that an existing portion of the solid foundation will not require modifications to support the proposed building, other than new pilings exterior to the existing footprint, the existing portion of the solid foundation may remain. That's it right there.
But what does it relate to? Does it relate to new construction? Does it relate to improvements?
It's anything. If a licensed engineer certifies that an existing portion of a solid foundation will not require modifications to support the proposed building.
Yeah.
Well, it would have to be the proposed improvement of an existing building, or there wouldn't be a foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about basically an improvement of an existing building.
Anything. If it can't hold it, then you cannot reinforce it on the inside.
But I'm not sure the ordinance is even triggered if you don't have substantial improvements, which is, I think, what Andy was suggesting before. I'd like to, I'll print it out or I'll look at a copy of the thing.
It has to be substantial enough if the foundation can't hold any additional weight. In my opinion, that's substantial.
I'm not sure the foundation language in there is a third requirement. I think it's just an elaboration on the substantial improvement trigger.
Yeah.
Could be worded better. Next time.
Well, you know how lawyers do it.
Well, how much time did we spend on the 25-50% language? Remember that?
Oh man.
If the commission wishes to see the wetlands, I have my GIS on here. I'm not using a lot of web, so I have this is the plot plan
with the 18 by 36 foot pool. Yep. And what you'll see on the screen here is that's their lot. This one right here? All right. So their lot is this one here. And the well is, if you look at the plan, is like this. So that's their home. Pool would be back here. Wellens are over here. Now this is, there's no definitive delineation, but the estimated wetlands is from the back of their lot, say in that direction. Maybe the closest point of the pool is probably 50 feet away. And that's estimated, so I don't know how accurate that distance is, but you can look at the tree line and see it's probably about there.
Which is their lot, the one your cursor's on now?
Their lot is this one here.
Oh, okay.
So there's an undeveloped lot behind them.
So it's an in-ground pool? And will it be, are you excavating? Are you backfilling at all around it?
So it's a sloped? Well, the pool, no, the pool's going to be, you know, flat plateau of the pool, and then it'll be, there's already existing slope going around that.
Yeah.
Okay. So it'll just be flat. We're going to go to the highest point of the yard. The farthest point away from the water as possible.
We're on this.
Yeah, it's actually
so it's on the whole opposite side of the yard.
It's showing all the streets.
And that's the highest crowd. So the pool will be out that.
Yeah, folks are driving. They're down here. That's what a lot of
them
are.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they're in that whole residential neighborhood. You're welcome to come around and take a look as well. I'm just showing them you where
you're
this configured.
Well, when we got the house, it wasn't wetlands.
You have a large area behind your house that obviously wasn't developed, some of it being wet. There's a culvert that goes underneath Francis Drive in this area that connects these two wetlands together. If you look at the neighborhood, you're zooming out from there. This is part of the Kelleher Pines, I believe, subdivision.
Yeah.
And this whole area here has some undeveloped lots that weren't done. The developer actually had somebody come in to talk with me a few weeks ago, interested in revisiting this area with the commission and talking about the possibility of having some lots in here if they could reconfigure, you know. And I told them that, you know, from my blog on the site, it looked like there's a lot of lots. I don't think they're remembering, but. But, you know, this is one layer of wetlands, but if you look at Joe's, I think you'll see this is one layer. There's actually, I think this is the state layer, but the local layer shows much more extent of wetlands with that combined.
Oh, this is the state layer here.
Well, that's the state. I'm sorry. So maybe this is the local that I'm looking at. But at any rate, there's more wetlands in here than this red wetlands layer indicates. And at any rate, their lot is here, and with respect to this application, the closest point of their pool is probably about roughly 50 feet plus or minus to the edge of the wetland boundary, which isn't on their plan, but it is jurisdictional. It's within 100 feet, which would be maybe on the other edge of the pool.
I can bring up the. I actually have that. Up another map. I have the whole buffer zone.
Oh, okay.
And
if your layer is the same as mine, yours is a little bit larger than mine under the lot. Here.
Mine's a state layer. That's the recent state layer. And it's.
Does the 18 by 36 foot include a
deck?
Okay.
No, that's the pool.
Just the pool? Is there going to be any kind of deck around it?
Yeah. The pool is actually within the box. It's a free-form pool. It's within the box. I'd say power limits any area that it touches.
So the 18 by 36
includes the patio. They put around the
The 18 by 36 includes the decking over there still?
No, it doesn't. The pool fits. That's just a box around the pool. It's actually a free-form pool that fits within that box.
Okay.
So.
All right. Nice.
And you're within 6 feet of the property line? That any structure would be at least 10 feet.
Not a swimming pool, 6 feet in the river.
Including the deck?
No, just the pool. Water's edge.
So it's above grade.
This is what happens when you lock it.
They go to the state, that's the state that's good, 6 feet.
Okay.
Unless the town supersedes the swimming pool, does it?
Sorry, folks.
We're really trying to get as far away from the water as possible. We can't get any farther away. That's
yeah,
the, you
right.
know, way over on the other side of the island. We just can't get any farther away.
But part of the project is going to include a deck as well. That's going to affect.
How wide would the deck be?
3 to 4 feet.
3 to 4 feet.
Yeah,
three
yeah.
to four
feet. Yeah.
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 Right,
I'm sure.
Yeah, not on that side. Yeah. Or the deck not actually close.
One
yeah.
of the sides is probably going to be a good one.
What's that?
One of the sides is probably going to be a good one. Right.
Yeah, but most of it's going to be back actually towards
yeah.
the house because
yeah.
that's where that's congregated.
Yes.
So. Walkway,
yes.
like a 3 to 4 foot walkway around the edge of the pool. Yeah.
And then bigger on the front towards the house.
Yeah, right, back towards the house. Because that makes sense. That's where the patio is now. There's a deck there now. So all that patio will be back.
So that's it. There.
Nothing will actually, it's not going to go, you know, it's not like it's going to go way down.
Really according to the wetland buffer.
Right.
Towards the house.
Covered.
Right.
You want people on this side.
I feel like we need to take a look at it.
The
yeah,
whole
the
whole house is in the 100-foot buffer. So
there's a I was just looking around to see what's in the neighborhood. There's another pool that's above ground, I believe, south of where your property is.
And there's
an in ground too.
Four
houses
down.
Yeah. In the same direction.
Yes.
Okay.
Down.
Actually, there's two. Yeah, two.
Two in
the
room.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. One was just covered recently.
Wow. You need to take it.
Yeah.
Anyway. So the question before the commission is this a notice of intent or is it an RDA? Could it be, you know, can simple erosion control measures be put on or is it more involved in that as a notice of intent?
Well, I think in not to run development, but up in that area, we had another swimming pool put in.
Yeah, I put it in.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a run drive.
Okay. That's a. We got a notice for that one.
That was substantially. Let's see. That was like 10 feet from the water. That was really close. We put a wall in there, a 4 foot wall.
I think it'd be useful to see it before a decision is made about, you know, going to an NOI.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily opposed to the RDA, assuming the wetlands are, you know, where we think they are, and we have enough distance and erosion
control.
Meaning
if they are some 50 feet away from the edge of the pool.
Yeah, I'd much rather have you go out and take a look and go for that whole problem.
Of course, yeah.
It's so expensive. I mean, it's so expensive.
I mean, if we insisted on an NOI, we'd go out and take a look at it anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If I may suggest that one of the things that comes into play, and I'm always thinking about the process, you know, as well, the paperwork, you know, if you do have a notice of intent for this, you'll effectively end up with the same paperwork and you know, additional paperwork, but effectively having the same decision, you know, do you allow it in the in that 100-foot area? And as long as the applicant can demonstrate there's no impact to the well itself, they're typically given approvals for these. So the question is it really worth all that paperwork to get to the same point? Maybe it's worth taking a look at it before the next meeting and reconvening on it.
Oh, yeah, I'd rather look before making the determination.
Look
either
before
way.
Leaping.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it may well be that it's very helpful in the resource area itself and then just the general nature of
the
territory.
Yeah, I mean, it's
sort
of slope, too.
Yeah, exactly.
So much.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to stake out the boundaries of the pool, the four corners of it?
Yeah.
Maybe the decking as well, you know, the perimeter of the whole thing.
We have a template we can actually lay it. If you let us know when you're going to go, we'll lay it out there and you can, you know, it's kind of like it's the pool, kind of running around.
Okay.
So.
And maybe a photograph of the type of pool that's going in.
Is it worth trying to schedule a site visit now for the commission as a whole, or just letting the individual end to make it easier on the applicant to just schedule a meeting now? That would be worth.
Oh yeah. If we can.
That way, you can all see it before the next meeting, and we know that they would be available to show us the.
Yeah.
I don't know if you happen to know your availability to confirm with the commission right now, but it might be.
Yeah.
So who can make it before it gets dark? Or do we want to take a half an hour on a Saturday to do it?
I would vote for the latter, I think. That's some good weather now. Good time to do it.
For the holiday?
Me?
What?
Like this coming Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm good except 10 to 12 on Saturday.
What about 9?
9?
Yeah, 9 would work. Just be a half hour probably, right?
Oh,
yeah, if that.
9 a.m.?
9 a.m.
Saturday the 19th at 9 a.m. And that works for the applicant?
First, okay. Yeah, sure. That's good.
And what's the address on that?
16 Francis Drive.
16. Can you send out an email?
I'll send out a reminder email before I leave tonight. And,
we handed out the paperwork last time, right, Andy?
Yeah, I thought that it was that Diane might have emailed us to get, but it was actually a handout I gave at the last meeting.
Yeah.
So if you have your records at home, you probably have a copy. If not, I can email the whole packet to you again. But this is the only plan that was provided. So.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Want to do an official? Why do I have to start? Continue.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Proposed.
Should I go over the miscellaneous items?
Sure.
A couple of updates. One is you may recall I mentioned that a development company named Tropic Star is interested in working on a CDS project. Generally, say pharmacy, but we understand to be a CVS up on Story Avenue next to the gas station, the Crest of the Dunkin' Donuts. And the council last night discussed the zoning change that would be applicable to that, which is I can show you on the screen here if you're just in the whole area, but two residential properties. There's three actual residential properties between the elderly facility and the gas station, and the idea is to take all three of those properties and all three of those homes down and put it in CVS with, you know, maybe a bank or some other small office space that would be appropriate on Troy Avenue. From a planning point of view, I agree that the zoning change makes sense. I don't think that residential makes sense. Single-family homes make sense on Troy Avenue. I'm not convinced necessarily we need a CVS and all that sort of thing, but that, as far as a zoning question, that having single-family homes on Troy Avenue right next to 95 is probably not the best use of that land. At any rate, the question before the city council right now is the zoning. They rejected the zoning change last night, although by a close margin. What's my understanding? They're reconsidering that at the next council meeting, whether to approve it. The reason I mention it to you folks, although it's typically a planning issue, is because this one of the things we worked on in the interim was they had proposed to give the city some 26 acres of land at the back as open space. If they do actually acquire the property, and because the property was 61A, they had to give us notice of their agreement with the owner, which is Eleanor Woodman, and we had the option to purchase that property for some $1.5 million, which is what they offered. Obviously, or at least in my opinion, it's not economically viable for us to purchase that property outright at the same value that they've offered, which is outright under Chapter 61A. But if the zoning change goes through, or frankly, if I can attach the zoning change, just if they purchase the property, They are now obligated to pass that open space of the back bag to us because we have to sign a tri-party agreement with us that's saying that if they purchase it from Woodman, they would give us the open space of the bag. So, you know, one of the things that I see as a benefit is not only does the zoning designation make sense next to 95, which is that we have business uses on Ferry Avenue as opposed to residential uses, at least single family uses being a little bit out of character. But we also have a substantial amount of open space at the beginning of the city. So the reason I bring it up is because the council is going to be discussing it again at their next meeting. And if you're interested at all in the open space aspect of it and don't have too many hesitations over the whatever might happen later on, which is like the planning board, what happens with that property as far as the bank, CBS, anything else, it might be beneficial to have positive comments on the benefits of having the open space in the back. It would be similar in setup as far as area to the only other subdivision where we have the constant development front towards you know, the end of Russell Terrace, sort of close to Story Avenue, and the back portion would be preserved as open space. I know that the Open Space Committee had spoken in favor of the open space at element of it. They're not speaking back to the development, but just of the open space coming to the city. So if you're interested in that at all, if you want more details, I can give it to you. But it might be worth, you know, either saying to you or even, you know, speaking to your councilors about the benefits of having open space. Otherwise,
I'm not sure that there isn't necessarily going to be another bite at the apple in terms of the open space, regardless of what happens in the story out frontage.
Yeah, meaning that part of the property.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, one concern I had about the 61A is that it was a bad notice. It was an illegal notice. And, you know, the city ignored that.
Right. And one of the things in the prior part that I gave with the sign, the city said made no comment and withheld its, you know, rights to take issue with that. But they don't get the development they want, which in this case is the CBS, unless they, you know, can get the
right
permit.
No, I understand the way this deal is structured.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know, what they've got to do if they want to unload the 61A land is, you know, give the city a shot at just the 61A land with no contingencies. Not, you know,
that
purchase and sale agreement.
I agree with you. There's those two defects that we've called out there. However, the court unfortunately did not help us out on the other Woodman property. And there's a more recent case, the 40B proposal, and that other piece of Woodman property.
Yeah, but the issues were different there.
The issues were a little different there, but the courts did not help us out in that difference between, you know, separating the 61A and the non-61A. They really didn't help us out in that. They basically said, we're not going to take this case any further. So we're stuck with accepting the offer that was given at that time on that one, even though it
but the statute changed in the interim, you know.
That's true.
And basically tightened it up and made it, you know, harder on the developer.
Right.
Between the Woodman case.
It is harder on the developer now. That's true. But either way, if the notice is given to the city, we either purchase it or we don't, and we see what happens with it from there. And, you know, it's not important. You can feel that the city would have some other avenue to it, either through another 61A notice or limitations they might have for developing it, be a wetland or so forth. But it's one option you should be aware of if you're interested in getting involved at all, for or against, just be aware of that.
Yeah, I'm personally ambivalent about it because that's never going to get developed. The parcel they're giving the city is wet, and they're not going.
I mean, I have to agree with some of the abutters. I mean, traffic is a nightmare up there, and you know this is only going to make it worse.
As far as the wetlands, do you feel the same about the second Woodman property, which was the subject of the 40B application?
Oh, that's all wetlands too. Yeah. It's do not. And they're
an extremely difficult time coming up.
Their plan was to take up every square inch
of the upland, right?
And that's not even a non-starter. They think that's going to be a beginning negotiation point. With me, it's certainly not.
I mean, giving up this open space is not much of a bargaining chip, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, with the state regulations, I don't think you'd have much leverage, even if they were to build out all the upland area. With the local ordinance, you'd have a lot more leverage to say, tough, you know, you can't put up all the buildings you want.
Well, we probably will have one.
I mean, they don't seem like they're in a hurry to come back to an application.
But still, it's still the DEP is not going to. DEP allowed Oleo to build right up to the edge of the wetlands because they were giving up 38 acres or whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking up that, especially the condo, 40B, they're taking up all of the upland and getting rid of some. Wetlands, including everything in the buffer.
there's pretty much no area on that that's outside the buffer. So,
isn't this kind of a moot point if they don't if the city council approves the zoning if they don't approve the zoning change then?
So yeah, but they're going to reconsider it, so they may.
Yeah, so I mean, until they reconsider it, then what's?
I think they got to approve the zoning. I don't think the CBS.
Well, that's a line I personally feel about it.
But, I mean, if it's going to be zoned commercial, what would you have in there that isn't going to exacerbate a bad traffic situation?
Okay, you could have office space in there that doesn't have the same traffic as the CVS or the pharmacy.
Maybe that's right.
You know, that's why I feel like, from a planning point of view, it's not, each question is a little different.
As far as the bank goes, there's a bank across the street, for crying out loud.
We've all had these discussions about both the pharmacy and the bank, yeah. I'm not interested in the CVS. I'm more interested in having the zoning on Story Avenue be commercial.
Laundromat.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a drive-through liquor store.
Yes.
Just like New Hampshire.
Okay. Just going from the sublime to the ridiculous.
So, you have anything else, Andy?
Yeah, the only thing I want to mention was the Whittier Working Group, which is the we have three communities, Amesbury, Salisbury, and Newburyport, meet on a every other month basis, roughly, with MassDOT. Just talk about the Whittier Bridge project, which is supposed to be a, quote, accelerated bridge project, but it takes them a long time to get through the process, even under their, quote, accelerated bridge division. So, at any rate, they finally gave to us today a draft of the environmental report that goes to the state as part of the NEPA process. Really nothing new from our point of view because we've been assessing this all along, but there's going to be a window in the end of November to mid-December to comment on that. We'll be commenting on it, some of the issues involved, but just wanted to mention it because there's some work that requires a notice of intent filing, and what they mentioned to us today is that their estimated timing of the filing is December 1st. They expect to file. We had talked internally. We've scheduled this meeting for a joint meeting for discussion between the conservation agents and some of the commissioners, if you're interested in coming, for the 22nd, which is next Tuesday. It's going to be at 7 p.m., and it's going to be in the auditorium, and that's just to accommodate in case there's every commission member from all three communities can come. What we're going to be talking about generally is sort of the scope of the project, and I think that their goal is to try to have some consistency in the order conditions that are issued in each of the communities so that they're not giving the contractor different instructions depending on where they are. We've agreed to basically take our order conditions, talk about how we might be able to use similar language in our general boilerplate conditions, for instance. Some conditions will be unique. We'll still have to have separate hearing processes, but at least to try to streamline that paperwork process so that there's one clear set of instructions given the contractor, they're not confused if they're crossing over a community boundary or one side of the river or the other. So, at any rate, that's the kind of thing that will give you some advance notice of what's going on with the project, the scope of the project, and some of the details before they file in presumably on December 1st. But also, it'll be that they will be filing and we'll have a hearing to deal with on that for a couple of weeks. So,
how can we have a meeting with a quorum about something like this without going afoul of the open meeting law?
There's no filing yet. If you have a meeting like this, which is an informal discussion essentially before filing, it's not anything to do with the open meeting law. If it's an application that's been filed before you, then you have an issue.
So it's just informational before the fact.
Right.
And it's just Amesbury and Newburyport?
Amesbury, Newburyport, and Salisbury, because some of the work is in each of those communities.
I'm wondering if it would be worthwhile to hire a peer reviewer for all three communities so that the end result...
To save the efficiency, yeah.
The end result would be order conditions that would be...
Yeah.
Okay.
Appropriate.
That's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
The one thing to keep in mind, I have to check on procedurally how that works, but I'll check with Cal to understand procedurally how that costs pass on to the state. We make sure that they do actually follow. If we're going to do that, then they actually follow up on providing a payment to us, so that would be... extending city funds and then finding out that we have some bureaucratic measure trying to get them to pay the cost of the state consultant. But I also wanted to ask him, as far as consultants that you've used before, do you want to stay with what you've been working with? If you, I just want to make sure you're, if we do have a consultant you're happy with.
I think this one might be something we want to put up proposals, or a proposal. rather than just, you know, hit somebody.
Haven't we been getting a lot of info from the folks who've been planning?
Yes, Christian Surge.
Christian Surge, they've been and giving us information too a lot about
that. They've been doing a great job on the stormwater side of things. I don't know, I haven't been involved long enough to see their expertise in wetlands issues, but they certainly do a good job on the stormwater side. I imagine I've had enough experience on the wetlands side as well, I just haven't seen them directly myself.
Do they have a wetlands team?
A wetlands group? They have the resources to do wetlands work, I just haven't seen them directly myself as well, so I haven't seen them. I'm sure they can do a great job. They've done an excellent job in engineering and stormwater side. You know, if you want to, I can talk to them about that and see what they can, you know, propose as far as how it would cost for that.
Would all three communities be hiring?
I have to discuss that. That is previously, I have to discuss that with the other communities because I don't know where they're going. You know, I mean, I don't know their commission, so I don't know where they fall.
And if they're suggesting someone that they feel strongly about, then maybe it is a good situation. You could do a quick bid on it.
Okay.
It could be a quick bid for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if one community would have to take the lead on it, though, rather than three.
Yeah, I prefer to have one, you know, draw upon, just have consistent recommendations. And we could have things that are in the middle of the Merrimack River that there's questions about and both consultants disagreeing on.
What's the threshold for bidding? Is it 2,500?
Yeah, however, in this case, we could do it as close. The cost that we're going to be doing is 25,000 is the amount. We can do it as close. We don't need to do an RFP because the state allows consultants to be approved by a commission, planning board, ZBA, et cetera, when needed without going through a formal RFP process. So so basically, if we can go out there and say, here's the estimated number of hours we expect over nights, you know, three nights of hearings and so many hours of review, you know, what's your hourly rate, and you can pick the one you find to be most qualified without going through the whole RFP process.
And that's before 25,000, right? You can get quotes?
Right, I mean, we shouldn't be going over 25,000 in a certain
just want to know what the rules are, is that?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect somewhere between 2 to 3 nights for this project at least.
You know, I think that'd be really helpful, particularly with the three communities involved, to just to avoid extraneous dialogue between the three.
Yep.
One community contradicting the other.
Well, yeah. I think it might be much more efficient rather than.
If there is any pushback from the state on the payment of consultant issue, there is not, because I have issues with telling them they have to pay, but just knowing how things sometimes work. If there's some pushback on that, does the commission feel this is important enough of a project to spend some of its own funds for the peer review? I'm not anticipating anything I said, I'm just saying I want to be prepared in advance so I can address that issue.
I'd like it if it comes to that, I'd like it if the other two communities would also.
Oh, yeah. I think it'd be more efficient to say for us to have it be a joint.
But I mean, from the state, you know, if the state's looking at this rationally, if this is supposedly fast track, well, I mean, this is going to be fast. Yeah, I mean, it's going to take longer if the three communities have to, struggle through it.
Yep, it will definitely add efficiencies for their work. It's
also a very small cost compared to the entire project.
I think it's a win-win for the state.
Yeah. That's how I'll present it. Okay, so I'll touch base.
That still doesn't mean they'll come up with the money.
Well, we've got a budget. I mean, come on, it's all federal money anyway, isn't it?
Have you seen the project?
I've seen plans for the project. I mean, I can tell you based on our end, it's it's the work next to the Merrimack River. There's a couple of other places that cross by, but there's nothing that's really significant on it except for the Merrimack River side.
Does it currently include the Cantilever bike path? Is that still on?
The bike path is part of it. That will be integrated in the project with some overlooks on the bridge. The biggest concern I've had with the project, and it's not a negative, they've been working very hard to address our concerns, I would say, and I don't usually give that credit to these applicants, but the state's done a great job of incorporating the multi-use trail. It's a new policy. It's the first time an interstate bridge in Massachusetts is going to have that. My concern was that while they're putting a path over the bridge, they're not necessarily making connections going east-west underneath the bridge. And they basically said they pushed back, and we've been able to get them to construct the east-west connection underneath the bridge, and nor can the commission force that through its process because it's in separate jurisdictions. But we've been pressing them to at least commit legally to authorizing the city to have the public access in the future when we finish out that trail underneath, so that whether or not that it's paid for an hour in the future, we're not chasing them later on for the legal right to have access, public access underneath the abutment. They're pulling the abutment back from the river, so it gives us an area to work with. Not because we want it, but because they have put utilities underneath there, and they need to pull it back and claim that area as restored, you know, riverfront area. But at the same time, we then are freed up to have width for access underneath.
Over the utilities?
Over the utilities. There'll be basically a gravel access for utility trucks to go through if they need to.
Wasn't there some butter objection to that trail idea, or maybe the connection idea?
There was a concern from the...
the sound barrier. They were upset because the sound barrier was coming down, and they felt like...
You're talking about Laurel Road, yeah.
Laurel Road.
Those residents were opposed to the trail because of its proximity, the barrier coming down for the noise, but also they just didn't want pedestrian traffic going near the neighborhood in a way it hadn't previously. I don't think that I actually see it's a benefit to them that there's a, you know, that amenity, but also more eyes on the area to prevent, you know, crime and that sort of thing. But anyway, they were opposed to the trail in general. So we've been advocating for the trail being a benefit of this project, a good one, rather than having it be just for vehicular access. It's going to provide connections to all of our multi-use trails along with the future.
There's already trails there anyway.
Yeah, there isn't one that's actually...
The water department land is right there, and those are all trails.
But they're talking about the other side of Ferry Road, I don't know. They're talking about Laurel Road, which is doesn't actually currently have a pedestrian trail next to Highway 5. So their concern is there isn't one there right now assigned for pedestrians in creating one. Whereas on the other side, where you're talking where the water department land and the Moser area, there is actually a defined path there already.
So there would be an additional path that runs in between the interstate and lower the backyards?
Yeah, I can show you the plan. If you basically run a line on 95 or parallel to 95 from the parking ride all the way up to the Merrimack River and beyond it to the Ghost Trail, there'd be a bike trail connection.
Really?
So that's we've.
So connects Ferry Road to the parking ride.
Connect Ferry Road to the parking ride and from Ferry Road north across the bridge, the new bridge, and connecting to the Ghost Trail, number 110.
Yeah.
So it'll be a great, you know, pedestrian connection there, a great bike trail connection there that we haven't been able to have up until now.
That'll get you over the little river trail too.
Right. The only thing I've been concerned about, you might have heard recently, the CPC application we put in. The reason I was pressing out the council is I want to make sure we had enough money to make sure they didn't do anything under the abutment that will prevent us from having an east-west connection as well. It looks like they're going to have enough area to work with. We won't be able to push them as hard with our own desire to get them to say, you know, work with the grades, maybe build up a small 2-foot retaining wall, 4-foot retaining wall, or something to make sure it's level so we have a trail.
Yeah.
We might have to do some more work later on to get the trail in there, but at least we'll have the physical access next to the river to make that pedestrian connection.
How about the sound barrier? Did they put that back in?
They're not increasing the size of the sound barrier, which is what the residents ultimately wanted, but they are putting the sound barrier back
at
the same or higher height than it currently is. So it's shifting a tiny bit closer to them, but that doesn't really decrease. That actually technically improves the sound quality for them. So they're going to basically take that same sound barrier, move it closer, it'll deflect things a little higher for them, and it just won't be higher. Which what they want, basically, the sound barrier is twice as tall as it currently is.
So they'll have some sort of security protection from
the walls
of the
trail.
It won't be like going into right into their access in their backyards.
Right. So we're not really objecting to that resolution.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you're interested in seeing the plans, I should have this report as a PDF for the coming days, which over when I can post it or email it, I'll probably post it.
That's going to be like 8 gigabytes?
Yeah, we might do it by sections or something, but we can put it on a disk or something, but I don't have this electronically yet because they haven't compiled the PDF, but once they do, we'll have that. In essence, the plans are really the only thing that matter from here out, and it's... they're going to have, it's a question where they put their detention basin for some of the stormwater that they're increasing, the setback from the river, and the prior, you know, distance to the well. It's the same as large, you know, other projects large. You know.
That's what I was going to ask, because given the recent fuel spill, which probably another 100 years before there's an accident just like that, but, you know, with that fuel spill, just all that fuel went right into the river, are they going to build a system that kind of helps to mitigate that or
so,
reduce
yeah.
that? chances of that happening again?
I don't have all the details on the stormwater. It's one of the questions I raised today when we were talking to them about this package that we just got today. I believe, as I understand it, reading the conceptual plans that I'm looking at here versus the detailed plans we'll get, say, December 1st, my understanding is that there are definitely some improvements to the stormwater that are going in there, but based on the redevelopment type of product they're doing, some of it's not all being improved 100%. It's basically the new portions of it will be captured. Some of the old portions will be captured better, but there'll be some that will be entirely up to today's standard in stormwater. But certainly it'll be a much better situation for capturing that pollution before it gets to the Merrimack than it is today. Today, it basically goes right in there. In the future, there'll be more catch basins, deep sumps, you know, separation, and so forth before it goes to an outfall, which will be underneath the abutment of the Merrimack.
Can you put that online?
Yeah, as soon as we get the PDFs, I can put a link to it. That's PDFs, you can take a scan through there just to save time. We won't have the capability of reproducing the whole thing, so I'm asking this as a PDF. So, yes, I think they would do that.
Yeah, put it in sections. You can download the
section
40 meg at a time.
Yeah.
It's going to be big.
My preference is if they post on their website, just send a link to their website.
Yeah.
Whatever works, if we have to post on it, we will. But anyway, if you're capable, I don't know if you happen to know right now if you're available, but I was hoping to get some sort of a sense of who might be there, if at all. Hoping we'll have some representation from each of the communities, and then between the agents, we can talk about some of the boilerplate conditions that we know are going to be in there, and then work out from there on the particular issues that come up. Because we will be typical.
So I'm planning on being there.
It's next Tuesday at 7.
7 o'clock. Yeah.
Tomorrow night there's a show or a talk at the Custom House on the shifting sands in Palm Island.
Is that the one you sent us, Doug?
Hmm. It's kind of a history of the.
How did you go? Actually, I have a planning board meeting, so I can't go. But I don't
think
really
shit.
Do we have anything else?
Second.
All in favor?